I like that song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because there's an empty tomb. I sing because there's a power to save. And it's really got a nice message to it. Thank you for singing that. I don't know if, is that a first time one? That's what I thought. So let's get our Bibles open to Luke chapter number 8 tonight. Luke chapter number 8. Title of the message tonight is, do you have the faith to be a soul winner? Do you have the faith to be a soul winner? And back in May, I think it was around, either on, I think it was a Sunday morning, we looked at Luke chapter number 8, and we looked at this thought about, where is your faith? And we talked about how people sometimes, when they're, it seems like they're going crazy, and they're worried about this, and they're worried about that, and they're overwhelmed, and they're just don't know what I'm going to do. And sometimes you ask them the question is, where's your faith at? I mean, where is God in the equation? Where is, if you're so overwhelmed and so worked up and you don't think anything's ever going to change, you don't think anything's ever going to get better and this and that, do you even believe in God? I mean, where is your faith? And I think the question tonight we need to look at is, when it comes to soul winning, you know, it's done by faith. And the question is, where's your faith when it comes to soul winning? Because the reality is, we know that, and we've looked at this for the last number of weeks, we know that Christ has called us to go into all the world. It's simply put in black and white there, and it's repeated a number of times. And we've been told to go and do what he's told us to do, to preach to every creature. That word faith talks about persuasion, a belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence. And the Lord spoke to my heart while preparing this is, this is why we do what we do. I don't know about you, but you come to church. My hope is the reason why you come to church is not just to check off the mark, hey, I've been here, to be part of a church and treat it like a social club. That's not what the hope for our church is. The reason why we preach and the reason why we sing is because we want God to affect your heart. We believe that God lays upon a preacher's heart something from the Word of God, and the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God is for us to change us for either good or for bad. You say, what do you mean for bad? Showing us our sin and realizing, hey, I'm a sinner and I need help. Sort of like the Laodicean church age. It's either, I wish you were cold or I wish you were hot. He says, I'm not up for this lukewarmness. And so when and the Lord spoke to my heart, most of you know, I think quite a few were at the funeral this morning, this afternoon, excuse me. And he spoke to my heart, I think it was yesterday. You know, why do we do that? Why do we have a service and you're there? And you're remembering and you're honoring a life and celebrating a life. And many times, if a family member gets up and tells the time of remembrance, Mr. Green's brother, who looked a lot like Mr. Green, was there. And he did his part. And it was really nice. And it was really good. And he did a really great job at it. And it's like, if we would have closed the service up, probably 60% of the people there would have been, that's great, that's wonderful. But why would you take the time to share the gospel and talk about a horrible place called hell, talk about heaven, talk about death to people that are mourning? And why would you put them through that? And the reality is, we believe it will work. There's faith that's involved in it, and that's what you expect from a preacher. And I'm trying to say wrong. I've done a number of people's funerals and families here, and. And they say, hey, look, sometimes they'll say, my kids or my brother or sister or my loved ones don't have the faith that I have. And I want them to have what I have and experience what I have. Please, preach the gospel. Don't worry about what their faces look like. Don't worry if they look unhappy. Take as long as you need. And I've heard that a number of times. And why is that? Because their hope is, and they are believing that by sitting there and hearing the gospel, that God will make a difference in their life. We do that by faith. When Miss Nikki asked me to preach a sermon, it was by faith that the message would be biblical and that it would be the Word of God and that it would get and fall on some good ground and that it would be cultivated and there could be decisions made. That's the reason why. Maybe that's not why you come to church. That's the reason why I preach. If I thought I was just going to preach to just,
get a paycheck, I definitely wouldn't do what I'm doing right now just to get a paycheck. It's because by faith, I'm believing that somehow, somewhere, God will take the mess that I present out there and use it in one way or another. And sometimes I lose sight of that, and sometimes I make it more about what I think or what. It's not always done by faith like it should, but you go through Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, by faith they did this, and by faith they did that, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did that. And we all look at that and say, of course that's how they did it. They did it by faith, and that's why you come, is to come to hear and teach. So now let's make that application now to soul winning. By faith, I'm a soul winner. By faith, I share the gospel. So I told you at the beginning of this weeks ago that I think one of the main problems is pride. So we don't feel like it's our job. We don't like being told no. We're worried about people slamming the door in your face or telling you I'm not interested and other things like that. And once again, I've done it a lot, not as much as I probably should have and want to do more, but I've never really been treated so horribly. Somebody tells me, hey, I'm not interested. To be honest with you, if somebody came up to my door, I'd probably tell them the same thing. Hey, you don't even have to come up here. Just keep on going. You know, the Girl Scout cookies coming. I don't need your cookies. I would probably be the same way. So it's not like it's something unusual. We probably don't like people coming and knocking on our doors all the time. And sometimes I do talk about it. And if it's a church and they come by, I try to encourage them. If it's a cult, I will try to witness to them. But the whole point is, it's all done by faith. So when we do not do the Great Commission, when we do not tell other people, it's either we don't think it's found in the Bible, which I would find that really hard to believe that somebody would say that, or we do not have the faith to do what God's called us to do. And I think that's, we walk by faith, not by sight. We want to raise our kids right. We discipline because the Bible tells us to discipline, and we have faith that God's going to take care of it. We give because God tells us to, and as we give, we do that by faith because we believe God's going to take care of us. We show up at church four times a week, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We do those things by faith. And once again, hopefully, so that way God can work and move and can help my family and can do all those different things. They're all by faith. But when it comes to soul winning, it seems like there's a disconnect there. It's somebody else's job. That's not for me to do. And I think pride is a big issue. I think unbelief is one of the keys there. The reason why we don't go out and tell other people is because we don't feel like it makes a difference. We feel like, what's the point? And the story here, and we're going to look at quite a few things from Luke chapter number 8, and not just start off with that point, where is your faith, when Jesus is looking at the disciples. But I think that Christ or God could look at us and could say, where's your faith when you say, I haven't passed out of the track in a long time. I haven't talked about my faith in a long time. I haven't presented the gospel to somebody in years, if ever. I think the question could be written right across our foreheads. Where's your faith? Do we not believe that God can save? I mean, obviously, we believe God can save because look at you. If you're a believer here tonight and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we believe that God can save. Do we believe that God can save hard cases? I mean, look at some of you. Some of you are hard cases. I mean, I've heard some of your testimonies, and some of them are from, quote, wicked backgrounds, and some are from false cults, and some are from deep religious, you know, Can God do that? He can. You look in this story here, there's the maniac Gadara. There's Mary Magdalene in chapter number 8, whose 7 devils were cast out. How many of us would have went up and presented the gospel to her? I mean, how many, if they were acting like she had 7 demons inside of her, we would be praying, God, just get her out of here. But praise the Lord, Jesus healed her. Maniac of Gadara, no man could tame him. They put the fetters on him, and he just broke it free, and he sat out there in the dooms. You know what? He met Jesus, and Jesus made a difference. Can God, do we have the faith to believe that God can? I mean, obviously, right? We believe what the Bible says. You go in here and there's the guy who worked at the synagogue. I think it's Jairus' daughter that's there. And you're there and it's like, okay, there's a religious person. Now, they're never going to get saved. They're stuck in their religion. And me and Brother Jim were out visiting this past Saturday together. We were partners and we start knocking on the door and there's a lady from the Mormon church that was there. And when she said she was from LDA, and we talked to her for a few minutes, and we expressed to her there's a difference from what we believe from what you believe. Please read the information. She wasn't too interested. They believe that we're going to heaven, but they also believe that they're going to heaven. And, you know, we talked about faith through Jesus Christ and him alone, and that he's Son of God, and all those different things. We mentioned it. And the reason why we mention those things is someone who is lost in deep religion like that, a false cult, is because we believe, like he says, there's a power to save. There is an ability to come out of that. And there's ability that there is there anyone that's too hard? And I don't know if he can do the maniac Gadara, if he can save Saul while he's persecuting Christians, if he can reach somebody like a Peter, if he can reach so many people. It's the idea, yeah, we believe God can even do the hard cases. Okay, so we believe that. We believe that by faith. Then why don't we tell other people? Is it the fact that we don't believe God's going to use us? I don't know, you look in there and you see stories about how Jesus was used at little boy's lunch, a little girl that was a slave of Naaman. And then you look at some other stories of some other people that you're not the type of people we would have chosen, people who never even heard the gospel before. The maniac Gadara is a great example. He wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go home and tell them all the great and wonderful things that God's done for you, and because they wouldn't let Jesus stay there. And then Jesus comes back to that land later on, exact same spot. You know what happens? There's a whole multitude of people there waiting for him. Before the multitude said, hey, get out of here. We don't want you. You scare us. We don't want anything to do with you. Jesus tells the maniac, hey, go back to your house and tell the people what Jesus said. You look in verse 39. He says, return to thine own house and show him how great things God have done unto you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. There was a multitude that had kicked him out, and there was a multitude later on that wanted him to come back in. Why is that? It's because somebody told him about Jesus. There was a changed life that happened. So is the faith that's involved is the fact that God is able to save, that God can do it, and God can, I think we'd all believe that God can use anybody, right? I'm not saying in a bad way, but don't we think that a little child can give out a gospel tract? That it's not about the individual, it's not about the vessel. We've been talking so much about that. It's about the Holy Spirit of God working through someone, that even an older person that's stammering, or versus a younger person that might not look different, you know, all these different things. I think we would all agree, yes, I believe that. Then why aren't we doing it more often? It's a faith issue. It's a faith problem. So are we persuaded? If we're persuaded that God is able, if we're persuaded and have confidence that God can use anyone, and we have the power of the gospel in our hands, then what is it that we don't believe? Because if we believe something, we're going to be a part of it. Either that, or we are just so stone cold hard that we don't want to see anybody saved, that we want to see everybody else go to hell. I don't think anybody feels that way. But where's your faith? Let's look at a couple things. First thing I want you to think about is we need to be faithful doing our parts. We need to be faithful doing our part. Look, it says in Luke chapter number 8, we see the parable. We're not going to take time to do the whole parable, but we are going to read it, take time to explain the whole parable. But the reality is, in Christ's parable, there's various types of hearts that you plant the seed with. It says in Luke chapter number 8, look at verse number 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. So he gives a short story there. The disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So he's saying that we go out and we sow the seed. Those by the wayside are they that hear, that cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, unless they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now, the purpose is that we're going out and we're sowing seeds. The idea that's given here is some are going to fall on good ground, some are going to be stony, some are going to be thorn infested, and some are just going to be gobbled up. And there, so what are you getting at? We're supposed to sow. Do we believe by faith that some of the seeds is going to be something good? And the answer should be yes. The problem I have, and I see in many Christians' lives, is the lie that myself has believed before. There are some hearts that are hard, and there are some hearts that are stony, but there are some that are tender. But the average Christian today makes you think that every heart's hard, and every heart is stony, and that it's not even worth going out because of the fact that no one wants to listen. And I believe that's a lie from the devil. Because I believe if we would look through the eyes of faith and we would see the harvest field being one that is ripe in the harvest, and you look at it and you turn around and you see things, and you don't see as everybody being hard, and you don't see everybody being tough. I'll use the example, because I did a funeral today. I did a funeral of that young man, and I don't remember completely and totally, but they used their church. They let me preach the funeral. He overdosed with drugs. He was a college student, I think, at ECU, and the church was filled more than I've ever seen it. I mean, there were even people that were there, and Miss Kathy played it. Do you remember that one? And it's there, and they're all there, and I can imagine and I'm not trying to tell people by their looks or how they act, but they were mourning the young man that was 20 to 22 that overdosed in drugs, and there was a lot of hard ground there. So for me, as a preacher, I have an opportunity to present the gospel and talk to them about the difference between life and death, what happens in eternity, all those different things. By faith, you believe I should do that, right? I mean, that's what I should do. We should open up the church. We should allow it to happen. Then by faith, if you got the same gospel, shouldn't you, with the same Holy Spirit, be a witness to them? So when I look through the eyes of faith, I look at a crowd like that and think, man, there's so many lost souls. There's some people here that must be looking. There's some people here, their friend has just passed away. He died before he was 25, and their hearts are broken, and the gospel of Jesus Christ can go. So I can look at it one way and say, all these kids, they're probably unsaved, and they don't know God, and no matter what you say, nothing's going to change them. You would say, as a pastor, that you should leave the ministry if you look at it that way. You shouldn't even be in a pulpit if you feel that way. But that's how many of us in personal soul winning come across. Because I wonder how many of us would have given any of them a track on the street. We got the same gospel here. We got the same God. We got the same Holy Spirit. And you want a preacher to do something by faith and preaching, but when it comes to our own self and our own responsibility, we don't have faith. Why is that? So it's the fact that we need to be faithful to do our part. And I really believe it's because of the fact they don't know they have need. We have developed layers and layers of excuses why people will not believe, why people will not respond. We have our excuses, and sometimes there is an element of truth. The reality is, inside that room, that there was hundreds of people here. They were, many of them probably had never even heard of a gospel message, or they believed their own things, and so inside our own excuses, and when we look at people and say, oh, they don't need the gospel, they don't need, we would expect our missionaries to go out by faith and tell other people about it because they've been sent to a foreign land, but God has sent us out into a community, and we sit still many times. What is the problem? It's a lack of faith. In the end, our willingness to obey the Great Commission is directly tied to our faith and God's power. And you said, no, it's not about God. I believe God can do anything. I believe the Maria Gadara story. I remember, I believe Mary Magdalene's story. I believe all those things. We just believe that God won't use us. I believe there are many people out there that truly want to understand or at least experience the forgiveness of Christ. I think the harvest fields are white. They're not easy, but they are ripe unto harvest. What did Jesus tell that woman at the well? He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith this to thee, give me to drink, thou would ask it of him. If they knew what they needed, then there would be some that would be asking, please tell me more. Do we believe that Christ worked in that woman's heart? We believe that she went out and there was a whole community that came back and heard and believed and trusted. They were Samaritans. They were wicked. The Jews didn't even want to have anything to do with them. But there was a town turned upside down because someone was willing to present the gospel. He said, well, that was Jesus. Who is it that lives, whose spirit lives within us? Who caused the first century church to go crazy? Do we have faith to be a soul winner? If we truly believe that God's entrusted us with his word and commanded us to share it, he will prepare hearts. I don't think God plays jokes on us. I do think God uses things and tells us things to show us something about ourselves. So like Jonah, I believe Jonah said, I'll go wherever you want me to, God. And God shows him, there is a place you're not willing to go, and it's Nineveh. And God deals with him, works in his heart. And Jonah still doesn't get it right. God allows things to happen in our lives sometimes to reveal something about him or about us in our lives. But if we truly believe that God has told us to go and God wants us to share it, do you not think that God would also prepare the hearts of people to receive that truth? If I am faith-filled, I will be faithful in my obedience. It takes faith to engage the Great Commission. And perhaps the core of all our soul-winning failures is our unbelief. We don't expect that God will bring our fruits through our efforts. And we schedule our calendars like that. We don't anticipate that God's going to work. The truth is, unbelief is always accurate. What do you mean? If I don't believe God is going to work in someone's heart, I'm not going to give out a track, I'm not going to do any work, and no one's going to get saved. It's always accurate because you say, well, it just hasn't worked. But when's the last time we tried? When's the last time we did it with faith? We set the perfect stage for our self-fulfilling prophecies to come true. I think we believe that God can work any place, through any person. That's what we teach our kids. God can use you. You can rise up and do whatever God called you to do. You can see people saved. That's what we teach our kids. If we didn't do that, we'd be wrong. We want them to have faith to do whatever God desires for them to do. But the same faith is missing in us. Whether you say he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. I truly believe we need to have our faith stirred up like never before. The challenge and say, when I look in an audience and I'm teaching a class by faith, I'm expressing something to those kids that could actually change your lives. If you look at it like that, you're going to prepare a little bit better. If you look at it like that, you're going to say it with a little bit more passion. If you look at it like that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to believe that God can work, and you're going to do it by faith. And that's what we want from our teachers. But we don't expect it from ourselves when it comes to soul winning. That's what we want when it comes to our missionaries and our teachers and our staff and our deacons. We want to believe that somehow we can make a difference. But the faith that seems like it's lacking is the faith to believe that we should be part of the harvest. We need to look at the harvest around us and see it through the eyes of faith, see it the way that God sees it, ripe and ready to be harvested. We need to remind ourselves there's still a place called heaven, there's still a place called hell, and we should be hungry for that truth, that desire. You look in the stories, you look in chapter number 8 here, you go down and see what it says in verse number 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now look at this, it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom were 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which minister unto him of their substance. You see people who have been cast out from demons, somebody who was actually part of Herod's staff or the wife of someone who was on Herod's staff. These are not people that we would expect to get saved. These are not people we would expect that they're ministering to the 12 disciples out of their own substance. And you keep on going the story, you go down a little bit farther, and then you see how Jesus in verse number 25, we'll look at verse 24, and they came to him, awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and waters, and they obey him. I tell you, when I see that, it reminds me of a person who wins their first person to Christ, their first person in a while. You know what the first reaction is? Praise the Lord. I need to tell somebody else. You see God work, and you're saying, man, he can even work through me. He can even reach that person. And that's what he's saying, where is your faith? And I think if we would ask that question about ourselves and about our soul winning, it says, where is your faith? Do you believe that God can't? Is that the problem? Do you believe that there's something too hard for God to do? Is that the problem? Is it you that you believe that God cannot use? Because that goes against what we teach. We say he can use anyone at any time, any place. Where is the faith issue? Because there's a disconnect somewhere where we aren't accomplishing the things he's called us to do. And you keep on going in the story. You see a woman that is there and trying to, let's see, verse number 46. And we remember the story, actually, go to verse number 43. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Yes, that's in this chapter too. It's a great chapter of the Bible. Maniac Gadara is up there, the woman with the issue of blood, Mary Magdalene's missing, the parable of the sower, the story of the storm. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. So what are you getting at? Well, look what it says in verse 43, that she has spent all her living upon physicians. Neither any of them were able to heal him. And as you get the story, you get the picture of this woman who had to get to Jesus, and she's probably pushing people out of the way, and she's reaching out and touching the hem of a garment. She had faith to believe that God was going to heal her. You say, what does that have to do with me? When's the last time we reached out to anyone with the faith to believe that God could save them? She shows her faith. It's demonstrated. We would tell people, If you have faith, then you need to start believing, and you need to start acting, you need to start moving, you need to start doing something. And if somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm struggling with my finances, but I believe God's way, well, do you tithe? And they're like, no. What's the first thing I tell them to do? Start tithing. Trust in the Lord. Have faith. And it's the same thing. I have problems in this area with the relationship. Well, do you have faith to go to the person like you're supposed to? That's what we're going to tell them. We're going to tell them Bible things. We're going to say, have faith to do it. So the question is, are we struggling with being a witness? And then the question is, why? It's because of our unbelief. And I don't know if it is because we think that God can't, because we would never probably say that out loud, or we believe people are too hard, which we see story after story. It's kind of cool about winning the hard cases. Or if it's we just don't think God's going to use us. All three of those are lies. He wouldn't tell you to go do something and not be willing to prepare people's hearts. He can use you. The question is, where is your faith when it comes to soul winning? I know it's a challenging message because it speaks to my heart, because my faith isn't as strong as it should be in that area. I told brother, like I said, Brother Jim was my partner this past week, and we had the opportunity to talk to two guys on the porch, and I'm sitting there, nice guys. They were kind enough at least to talk to us. They probably weren't super interested, but we were there and we were talking, having discussion there, and the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, you know, he can save them if someone will tell them and if they're willing to believe. Now, don't get me wrong. There is hard cases. There are stony grounds. There is thorny grounds. There are places where someone will hear the truth and the devil will come in and just snatch it away. That is true. But believers today, many believers I met, it's too hard. It's too tough. There's no longer any. That's not true. There is good ground. Yeah, we do have to go out and sow. We do have to do those things and let God take it. We need to do our part, but how many of us are doing our part? And here's the next thing is, how many of us are doing it by faith? I was really thankful this past week. We had a good number of people out on visitation. It was nice to see. It was encouraging. And I know it's a work in progress, but I wonder how many people that came really thought it was going to make a difference. We used to take teenagers out on Wednesday night for between 3:45 and 5 o'clock before church. We picked them up at school sometimes and things like that. And we used to take them out. And they came because they were supposed to. They got points inside their program. They, they got to have dinner afterwards. We did other things after that. And I wonder how many even did it because it was faith, or they did it because they wanted something to do. I want you to try to understand this. As we go out and witness, we need to do it by faith and believe. He says, well, my faith is weak. Then be honest with God. He already knows that. And say, God, my faith is weak. I know you want me to go. I need your power and your strength. Show me words in your Bible. Give me faith. Increase my faith. But when you pray prayers like that, you must learn to be transparent with God. I know I'm struggling here. And the second thing is, you need to be responsive to God. Then respond when he says, I want you to talk to that person. Because when you respond, you know what happens? It increases your faith. And as you continue to respond, it increases your faith. It increases your faith. But the problem is, when we don't respond, it kind of lets the air out of what God's trying to do. We quench the Holy Spirit of God. And as we quench the Holy Spirit of God, the air gets a little bit more and more, to a point that God says, where's your faith at? So tonight, where's your faith when it comes to soul winning? As we close up the series, and I don't know how the Lord dealt in kind of a little bit of a different way in of different cases. This is something that today at this funeral, and I don't know many of the people there except for our church family, there's people there that are unsaved. And you would expect the pastor to get up and look at it and say, by preaching this Bible and the Word of God and planting a seed, that God could water it, God could increase it, and people could get saved. That's why we do it. We're supposed to do it by faith. But it's not just about preaching time. It's about our lives. Do I believe God could use me to reach someone else for him? And then we do it by faith. Take those first steps. Whatever that next step is, maybe it's just carrying tracts around in your pocket for a week. Maybe it is passing out a tract. Maybe it is sharing your testimony with somebody. All those different things. By faith, believe that God is able. So I believe God is able. If you don't do it with your actions, there's some unbelief somewhere in there. I encourage you tonight. Do you have the faith to be a soul winner? You want me to be a pastor with faith, and I agree I should be when I preach. I shouldn't even be doing it if I don't think God can make a difference with it. And we want our missionaries. They better be out there telling somebody, right? We support them. And we want our teachers to do things by faith. What about us? Where is your faith when it comes to soul winning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and thank you for Luke chapter number 8. So many fantastic stories in there. And Lord, I know that the thought process that's here with us, and many times we think the ground's too hard, the ground's too stony. God, this person's never going to be reached. But we know those things are not true. We're lacking our faith to take the steps that you called us to do. Lord, I pray that the message tonight fall into good ground and not just be something that's said to say, and now we're done with our soul winning series, so we don't have to deal with it again for another year. But instead, Lord, by faith, we believe that you've given the message, or the message that you desired for these people. And Lord, you work in our hearts, work in my heart, Lord. I need greater faith when it comes to me as a soul winner. Lord, as the Father said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, help us to say, I know that I'm struggling in this area, but I want to get it right. I want to get it fixed. I believe that God can do all things, and I have not been a willing vessel, that I can, by your grace, Lord, and through your power, make a difference in someone's life. Maybe the commitment, Lord, to lay upon people's hearts is to say, I'll be more sensitive. Lord, I pray you burden our hearts about having faith, even when it comes to our soul winning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, the altars are open as Brother Jim sings. Where is your faith when it comes to soul winning?